I don't plan to preach about something I don't know about, marriage. You'll be happy. This gospel has connections with the sacrament. It's been made scripturally. It's been made theologically. And I think there's more stuff to go into. And really, it has to do with the first reading, because in a very profound way, I found it opened, I think, the place where, at least for me, where it situates me, maybe us, see what you think. It's here somewhere. Gosh, there's a lot of ordinary time. This is amazing. No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. This part of Isaiah chapter 62, the last part of it, the last 10 chapters, is addressed to people who had been taken away to exile. They came back from exile. And it didn't go as, it wasn't all rosy. It wasn't all peachy keen. It wasn't everything that people thought. All the promises are like, oh, come on. They came back and people were in their homes. Can you imagine? They've been gone 70 years. And people took up their homesteads. Oy vey. Say, what the deuce here? There was problems getting the temple rebuilt and so on. So Isaiah addresses them where they were. You shall no longer be called forsaken, or your land desolate. For me anyway, it seems like the word addresses us right there in the place where you maybe saying or have had the experience or have the experience of alienation, of exile, abandonment, loss, and feel that part, the land is desolate. I feel forsaken by God. Doesn't happen to everybody all the time, but it happens. At least those of us maybe over 14 or something. There's something about the gospel that addresses that tonight, that I think does more than simply reinforce saying you will be called espoused, the land will be called espoused, you will be called my delight. But in the Gospel of John, five simple words, what I find anyway is that it gives a picture of Jesus . I think it does something like this. You ever heard the phrase, shooting yourself in your own foot? You ever done that? Can I get an amen? Yes. We've all done that. We've shot ourselves in the foot. What does that mean? We get in our own way. And it addresses that part of our lives, I believe, that reinforces that, leads us and keeps us in that place of desolation. See? Here's a little guy, and he's in desolation. God bless him, you know? We've all been there. So here are a few words that say, here's the place that the Old Testament would call the path of folly. And Jesus talks about what's the path of wisdom, which is a strong sub-theme, substratum in the Gospel of John. And the path of folly is what we do to shoot ourselves in our own foot. Couple things. Five words. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana, okay? The third day is a very important thing. In one place it happens is in Exodus. After the people come out of Egypt, they said, the Lord tells Moses, bring the people to the mountain and I will reveal myself to them on the third day. So the wedding is more like, okay, let's see, 3 days after something. But this is a sign that it's about the revelation of God taking place. There was a wedding feast. What's interesting about the way it's used in the New Testament and in John and in the wisdom literature, the path of folly in the wisdom literature, the challenges within marriages are referred to as idolatry. The tendencies within marriages, it's not just marriages, it's you and me, folks. It's not just that, the tendencies are referred to as idolatry, as the path of folly that wisdom is trying to address. And in the book of Revelation, another Johannine thing, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's where the Gospel of John and the Johannine writings are pointing. So the wedding feast has two different meanings. It can point to the path of folly. It can point to the path of wisdom. The disciples had been invited. Poor translation. The word kaleo is used exclusively in the Old Testament, tons of times, about naming people. God called the day the light day. God called the dry land earth. Adam called she shall be called woman. You shall no longer be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. Your wife shall not be called Sarai, but will be called Sarah, and so on and so on. It's about naming. So these people are not just, hey, did you see the invitation to so-and-so's wedding? We got to go. No, they didn't get an embossed invitation. What they got was a name. They were named. Like my espoused, my delight. And so they came. When the wine ran out, two paths in the wisdom literature, the wisdom speaks to the people. Why do you say that you are lacking in instruction? And why do you endure such great thirst? Wisdom speaking to us. But in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Path of folly, path of wisdom. And the last thing is about the stone stuff of the big jars. There's two parts of stone in the Old Testament. It's about the stone tablets of the law. 12 times at least. Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Leviticus talk about the 12 stone tablets. But in Ezekiel, it's more important. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Remember, these are stone jars for cleansing. And you will be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you. And a new spirit I will place within you. I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you so that you shall be my people. I will be your God. Path of folly, path of wisdom. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, it seems to me, what's being set up in the story of Cana is the picture of Jesus as the wisdom teacher, embodied, wisdom of God embodied, the Logos. Who comes to call each of us my delight, my espoused, and to invite us from the path of folly that you and I follow every day, every day, every day, which is shooting ourselves in the foot, getting in our own way. In this way, it seems to me, and I hate to use the L word, it prepares us for
Lent,
which is in 2.5 or 3 weeks. What if this year, what if the call to us is about discovering how we do walk the path of folly so as to say, teach me your ways, O Lord. Show me your path. I long to be called your delight and your espoused. What if that is what Lent's about this year? So, see if that opens up something as we all dread Ash Wednesday together. How's that? Let us take a moment to consider how we could pray for our world, for our church, and for one another.